This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. We were all, at the beginning of the Olympics, excited. Lindsey Vonn, I think, kind of led in many Americans' minds as far as like the story in the Olympics. Well, she went down pretty good. She said that she nearly lost her left leg following the frightening crash in the women's downhill at the most recent Olympic event for her. Vonn revealed in an Instagram post Monday that her injuries went far beyond the complex tibia fracture in the leg she initially hurt after clipping a gate and sailing off course just 13 seconds into her run on February 8th. She said the trauma from the crash led to compartment syndrome in her leg, and that involves excessive pressure building up inside a muscle from bleeding or swelling. High pressure restricts blood flow and can lead to permanent injury if not treated quickly. So, man, that was crazy. She said if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't had that procedure, then I wouldn't have been able to save my leg. So, wow. Just absolute. She says, when you have so much trauma to one area of your body, so that there's too much blood and it gets stuck and it basically crushes everything. So, it was a terrible injury. Yeah, you wonder. Hey, it's her decision. She qualified for it. So, who are we to judge whether or not she should have done this or not? It's the Olympics, for crying out loud. But I'm guessing she's going to be in some pain for a while. Javonte Williams, he is off the market. He just re-upped with the Dallas Cowboys, former Denver Broncos. He agreed to a three-year deal that guarantees him $16 million. The deal is worth $24 million and includes a $6 million signing bonus. So good for Javonte Williams. He was always a guy that I really wished it would have worked out for him in Denver. It just, after his, he had a good rookie year. Then shortly after that, he gets hurt. He was never really the same guy. And even when he was healthy, maybe at that point when he was healthy, he was under Sean Payton's watch. And we all kind of have discussed at great length Sean Payton's reluctance to want to commit to a bell cow style of running back. And Javonte definitely was that guy for the Cowboys last season. You know, he was excellent, man. And they're going to lean on him next year. They're now trying to, the Cowboys are now putting the focus on George Pickens. That's certainly a name I know Broncos fans, some are kind of interested in seeing what he does with the Cowboys. The expectation is that the Cowboys will put the franchise tag on Pickens. We talked about that last week. At a cost of roughly $28 million before the March 3rd deadline. And then they'll hope to work out a multi-year deal. So I would imagine Pickens is going to be unavailable pretty soon. And then Javonte Williams was never an option. That was a joke, kind of. Michael, Rich McKay is the NFL Competition Committee co-chairman, said Sunday that he is not anticipating an attempt to ban the tush push this year. 1 year after the debate over the short yardage play, had a lot of people discussing whether or not they should get rid of it. McKay said there's no team proposal that I've seen from it, so I wouldn't envision it, but you never know. Is that because the Eagles didn't win? I mean, it was hot and heavy last year. This was a hotly contested debate, Michael.
Because the Packers couldn't beat them.
And the Eagles weren't the threat that they've been. Not a terrible team, but certainly not the threat. So let's not talk about it. That kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Well, also, like, defenses do what defenses do, and they adapted. This was just, you know, they adapted to the Wildcat after 6 weeks. It took them extra long to adapt to this, but they've started adapting.
Yeah, well, and again, you didn't...
Used to be a guaranteed first down, and then it took them one game. It was like they had to do three tush pushes to get a first down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, teams have adapted. The tush push is going to be more rare now.
Maybe. If you're good at it and you do it and it's part of your thing, you're going to still do it in short yardage situations. And I don't know what that fix is other than just bulk up your interior defensive line. Here's a sad one, Michael. Yeah, Big Hub just asking about it. It was on the list. Former Purdue star and NFL wide receiver Rondell Moore died on Saturday at the age of 25. This is a tough one. Police in his hometown of New Albany, Indiana, told the Associated Press that Moore was found in a garage with a suspected self-inflicted gunshot wound. The death remains under investigation. Floyd County Coroner Matthew Tomlin also confirmed Moore's death. He said an autopsy would be conducted on Sunday. I saw several players just post on their social medias. Dre Greenlaw was one of them, current Broncos linebacker. And it was a very long post, but it was very well written. And I don't know what leads anybody to this. You know, it's a tough conversation. You know, I lost a brother a few years ago to something similar as this, and I won't get into the details there, but it's tough. You have no idea what someone else is going through. Dre Greenlaw's post was a lot about people needing to understand that, yes, these are athletes out on the field, but they make a lot of money, but they do have emotions, and fans can get to them, and people can get to them. Outside pressures can get to them. Michael, Coach Steve Smiley told me on the two-man game podcast that, like, during the Bears stretch where they were struggling, 1-7, these guys were getting messages from alleged fans that were cursing them out, yelling at them about their style of play, all this other stuff. It doesn't enter my world. I'm the guy, like, I never booed at games. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I don't want to tell you how to fan. Booing is one thing. And Dre Greenlaw even says that in his post. He's talking about, hey, be a fan, be critical. But there is a line, and you know that obvious line. When I hear people get on here, and the way some people will talk about players is upsetting to me. And we throw terms out like, that guy's garbage. And I know that's PG-13 compared to what we really see. But think about that. You're calling another human garbage because they dropped a football. I mean, that's what Dre Greenlaw's message was let's try to be more respectful as fans. You can still be critical. You can still boo. You can still probably trash talk. But there is a line. And if you're a logical, somewhat decent person, you should know that line. Yes, Michael.
There were a few years ago, the Washington Huskies had two kickers who could not make field goals and extra points. They were getting death threats. I mean, they were getting so many death threats, broadcasters were talking about
it. It's awful.
I mean, I'm sure that a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens probably got a lot of hate online.
Mark Andrews.
Thankfully, his team stood up for him, and even the Bills stood up for him and said, hey, come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. People online can be monsters. And
oh, 100%, they, like, man.
I know we love our teams a lot. You just can't do that. Like, put yourself in their shoes.
Well, and you, but you always get the idiots that are like, well, they can take it. They want to make big boy money and all this stuff. They can take it.
Fine, then you
that's,
take it.
That's not a real thing. You're still people. And you still have the same type of emotions. Yes, you might handle things differently when you get used to the spotlight. But and this goes for everybody. Like, if you don't like an actor, a TV show, or whatever, some of the crap that is said about people, on, especially on social media, because then you blast it out there for the world to see, and if it's click-worthy or whatever, or goes viral, then now millions of people have seen your stupid take on why you think this person is ugly or why this person shouldn't play wide receiver for your team or whatever. Faith says, just so sad. Mental health is so incredibly real in these athletes. The general athletes are just put in place to make people think that they have it all and they struggle. It's just heartbreaking. Yeah, it's not as simple as like, you make millions of dollars. What do you have to be sad about? Dude, there's millions of things. Callahoma says, do you think gambling makes fans more aggressive? If you have money involved, it affects you differently. 100%. 100%. I think people lose their minds as a way, you know, when they watch a game and if their team doesn't cover or a certain player doesn't hit an over or whatever. Yeah, I think that makes, I think that with the deadly combo of social media, mix those two things together. I've just heard vile things from people when they're gambling. And then the thing of it, not that this is right, but it used to be they would just yell it to each other and at a sports bar or something. Now they're doing that and then tweeting the same crap out, and then it becomes a post. And then you get other people jumping in agreeing because they're also crazy. And you can gamble and be a decent person and have fun with it. But there is a line of people that take it way too far. And I think that adds to it. And again, we're getting more details on this, but just from what we know at this point, at least according to the police in Rondell Moore's hometown, they told the Associated Press that they found him in a garage with a suspected self-inflicted gunshot wound. They are still investigating everything, but that's what we know, at least right now at this stage. And the Vikings said in a statement, we're deeply saddened by the passing of Rondell Moore. While we are working to understand the facts, we have spoken with Rondell's family to offer our condolences and the full support of the Minnesota Vikings. We've also been in communication with our players, coaches, and staff, and will make counseling and emotional support resources available to anyone in need. Our thoughts are with Rondell's family and friends during this devastating time. Texter says, what's so sad is I've seen the bullying, so to speak, start as young people, as with youth sports. Like, these are kids, be better. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, growing up, like, I played high school sports. I just remember the dads and occasionally the moms and some of the things that were said. Like, during a game, most of the time you didn't hear it. But you might have, they might come up and talk to you after the game or something. I mean, just crap. And nobody on my team was going to go pro. I can promise you that. Not even close. And yet we're watching games like it's the end all be all out there. And you're yelling at kids and screaming at kids. And we all thought it was funny because we thought it was funny because we were just like, you are a 40-something year old man. I'm going to play four more games and then never think about playing high school football again. And you're in your 40s screaming as though your mortgage depends on whether or not this 16-year-old makes a free throw or catches a touchdown pass. Yeah, I think it starts there too. I think it starts in the youth sports. I think it continues to spiral when you get into gambling. And I'm not sitting here saying that gambling's the enemy and we need to get rid of it. It's the same thing I say about in the political spectrum when we're talking politics and It's not always the device, it's the person using said device. If gambling isn't going to be the thing they use to bully people and be jerks online, it's going to be something else. They're online doing it anyway. And there's a lot of people that aren't gambling that are still jerks online.
Yeah, a lot of people blame the internet. But one argument I have is like, well, people have always been like this. Now the internet just shines light on who
trolls.
These people really are.
Yeah.
So I don't really think the internet is radicalizing people. I just think that, you know, people have always been awful and now they're able to join groups.
Yeah, I think people are a little more bold online, though. I think people just get more bold. And so that is a tool that allows you to be louder than you would be if you were to see certain player one-on-one.
And that's why some players get rid of their social media.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I don't want to take this. I don't want to have to deal with this. I'm going
well,
to play football.
Yeah, everybody's got a take and everybody's got a push. And again, this is... We've gotten into this culture where we talk about athletes, and I'm not just saying it's a sports thing, but we talk about celebrities as if they're not real people. Whether you're doing it in your private group amongst friends, or you're getting online and you're ripping apart someone's performance. Listen, be critical. That's we always say, like, because I always get pissed off when coaches and players fire back at a reporter for asking simple questions, and it's like their jobs are to be real. And if they think a coach is doing a lousy job at coaching, then they need, you know, it's their kind of job to call that stuff out. It can't be all roses and kittens. People get fired and people get cut from teams and fired as a coach. But there's again, if you don't know that line, then you probably are on the wrong side of it. If you know the line. You know that line. I've been critical of a lot of people on this show.
But you haven't been a Prime fan.
Well, I would like to think I've never gotten on here or tweeted out something really negative. I don't like him, and I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he... No, it's been all about in-game performance and what you've done as far as your... Because I consider press conferences and such... an extension of what you do in your games and everything. But I've never once just got on here and attacked certain characters. I don't think, maybe I have, but you want to think as if some of these people are listening or reading your stuff. Are you putting something out there that's going to maybe cause them to think twice about, oh, wow, that was a jerk thing. That really got to me today. Or even worse, because when it compounds... And I don't know what led to this with Rondale Moore, but I just know that a lot of players have taken to social media in the last couple of days and are really laying that part on thick of players really feel the pressure from the outside noise, whether that's fans or whatever, critics. And I don't know if that's it. Could have been other things. Could have been family stuff, too. But... It seems like players that maybe were connected to Rondale Moore might be leaning toward a lot of that noise was getting to him. And I don't know. I don't know if that was the case or not. My guess is that some of that stuff can be a contributing factor, but not necessarily the everything that caused a person to. Because it's hard to know. Yeah, you'll never really know fully. 24 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. When we come back, the Nuggets. David Adelman talked about last night's loss yesterday's loss to Golden State and just their preparation, where they are mentally at this point. We'll get into it. And what's wrong with the Nuggets? Where are we on the panic button meter here? Panic button meter? Yeah, that's right. It's, Friday looked like, man, okay, all forgiven. You win 157 to 103. Wow. And then you lose to Golden State. No Steph. No Butler, we knew. No Draymond Green. And yet, 128 to 117. Yeesh. Where's the clutch? We'll be right back.
Will anything slow down the Colorado Avalanche? Find out with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
All right, the Nuggets lose yesterday to Golden State, 128 to 117. And the Warriors had no Steph, no Butler, no Draymond Green, they find out shortly before tip-off. So Al Horford started. It's that's a tough one. That's a tough one to take. Because you look at guys that were just going off. I mean, Al Horford had a nice night. He was 6 of 7 from the three-point line, 22 points for him. Guys that you're probably not familiar with were just going off and having a monster performance against Denver. Denver couldn't find ways to get open late. And guys were just wide open against them. So, I mean, the Portland game, it's Portland, but still, you score 156 points and you only allow just a little over 100. And you're thinking, okay, Nuggets figured it out. They're not going to mess around anymore. And then you run into Golden State. Here's David Adelman talking about this game. And there's a couple of red flags when I listen to stuff like this. Here's Coach.
Yeah, we didn't take care of the ball. I thought we had some empty possessions that, even though they weren't turnovers, they led to poor shots and runouts for them. So really poor execution throughout the start of the fourth. But the bottom line is this game came down at the start of the game. We were not ready to play. This has been a tough weekend for us with the game time, the back-to-back and all that. But that has nothing to do with your approach to the game. And we gave them confidence early. Their energy surpassed ours. They played harder. And then to your point, we had to work so hard to get back into it. They had more energy than we did at the end of the game. That's the bottom line. So your approach to these games has to be different. Wasn't good enough tonight. And this is one of the, those losses during the season where you're going to look back and really wish we had a different approach to start the game.
Why don't they have energy? I mean, didn't we not just finish the All-Star break? I mean, I saw one Nuggets reporter post after, who'd they lose to? It was the game right before the Portland game, the Clippers. And that was the first game back. They played three games since the All-Star break. And one reporter said, oh, man, Joker and Jamal are gassed. What? It was the All-Star break. Oh, well, they're working hard during the All-Star. No, they're not. No, they're not. They are not running wind sprints. They are not in full-bore practices like they normally are. No, they're not. It's not a total downtime. I mean, it's not nothing. But, I mean, if we keep complaining about guys don't have energy, guys can't hustle, guys look gassed, then, yeah, maybe we should have a stronger, have a bigger conversation about reducing the regular season. But Adelman talking about the energy there, you know, that just wasn't a good energy. And he was talking about the back-to-back. Well, they didn't have a back-to-back. It was, they had a back-to-back after the All-Star break. It was, they played on Wednesday, then they played Thursday. They played February 19th against the Clippers, and then they played Friday against the Trailblazers back-to-back, a game that they won 157 to 103. So on the back-to-back, you actually almost scored 160. And then you had Saturday off. And then you played an afternoon game, which is odd. It was odd timing, but three games back. Now, like, not having Aaron Gordon, it sucks. Golden State didn't have Draymond Green. They didn't have Butler. They didn't have Curry. Everybody's going through this. Where is my panic meter here? Jamal and Joker, they have the ball in their hands a lot, but they gotta calm down the turnovers. Joker had a monster triple-double. I mean, these numbers are ridiculous. 35 points, 20 rebounds, 12 assists. But it was pretty much Joker, Jamal, and Christian Brown show yesterday. And you just, I mean, Cam Johnson is kind of, you know, he has his moments where you go, oh, maybe he's figuring it out. 9 points for him, 0 for 4 from 3, 1 of 7. Christian Brown was decent. Struggled from the three-point line, but everything else was pretty good. So that's kind of exciting. Yeah, it's a game where you start Julian Strother, Christian Brown, Jamal, Joker, and Cam. It just could not find real, especially late in that game, couldn't find real open opportunities, open looks. Joker talked about that in the post game and said, hey, we're just, especially down the stretch, we're not finding guys. We're not getting open looks from our guys. Not just not knocking down shots. We're just not finding the right shots and plays. The clutch thing, much has been discussed about it. It has gone way down since David Adelman's been the head coach. I mean, I've been pretty optimistic, pretty positive about Adelman, especially the cards he was dealt last year at the end of the season, and then this year with so many injuries, he's still dealing with that. I applauded him because they were, not only were they staying, keeping their heads above water, they were still very much competing and staying in the top tier of the Western Conference. Now, they're still, I believe they're still in third. Yeah, they're still in third. Other teams are kind of doing the same thing they're doing. But trying to get guys back has been almost more of a challenge than trying to replace. I mean, maybe Adelman's really good at inspiring young guys, but working your veterans back in is something a bit difficult for him. I'm not quite sure. And Adelman's been a guy that experiments with minutes. And at first it looked really good because Malone was like, dude, this is how this is going to go. This guy's going to play this many minutes during this stretch. And this guy's going to, it was clockwork, man. You knew exactly when guys were going to play aside from foul calls and injuries or whatever, but you knew when guys were on the floor. Adelman is still very much a guessing game. And I think by February 23rd, 22nd, you want to kind of have those lineups pretty close, pretty secure. And there's been so many injuries, so it's been hard to. And Adelman also doesn't want to punish guys that have been playing well, guys that put together good minutes for you. You know, like a Julian Strother. But something just doesn't look right. It just doesn't look like the pieces fit right now, which is crazy because when Joker's on the floor, the pieces always kind of seem to fit. And that's just not been the case right now. Texter here from the 970. Looks like the Nugs will be passed by the Rockets, T-Wolves, and the Lakers. Finish eighth and be one and done against OKC. John Fort collapsing. They're 36-8. They're in third place right now. They're a half a game ahead of the Rockets and only a game ahead of the Lakers and the Timberwolves. And what's coming up next for Denver is not necessarily good. You got Boston. Are they at Boston? No, they're home against Boston Wednesday night. That's an 8 o'clock tip off. That'll be on ESPN. And then Friday they're at Oklahoma City, 7:30 on ESPN. Sunday, another afternoon game, 1:30 against Minnesota on ABC. these next three games, you're going to find out a lot about where the Nuggets are if they can get up for these games, because they're going to need to. I mean, at some point, we can't just keep saying, they'll get to the playoffs, get to the playoffs. Texter's right. John, you're right. You're half a game ahead. You're a game ahead. All it takes is one week's worth of a collapse, and you're at the near the basement, at least from the playoff teams. And you're really not that far from the play-in either. And that's kind of a terrifying prospect, kind of a terrifying thought to think you could potentially drop. Now, the fact that they're still in third is a great sign, considering they haven't been playing very well. They're 4-6 in their last 10. But something needs to change quickly. And David Allman's got to find the right buttons. He's got to figure out his lineups. 40 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carbacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into the whole show. The beverage of the week at On the Rocks Liquor, Monaco pre-made cocktails with over 10 flavors to choose from, such as Sour Apple Crush, Knockout Punch, or Moscow Mule. There's sure to be a flavor for you. Also, they're giving out free samples of everything I just mentioned Friday from 4 to 7 o'clock at On the Rocks Liquor. Also, tomorrow on a Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, they're going to have Bomb Tacos of Johnstown will be there with their food truck, serving up some of the best tacos on the Front Range. They'll be setting up from 12 to 7 or until they sell out. So get out there early to On the Rocks Liquor. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Texter here, Go Pokes. I didn't get to this one. I do want to talk about this because it's a good topic. Just not sure. Okay, here it is. NHL is just whatever. Playoffs and finals are decent, but if it's not the Avs, it's whatever, right? Just not sure how hockey could expand on the success of the Four Nations playoff and Olympics. Maybe do the Four Nation playoff thing every 2 years and definitely right before the Olympics, just like they did leading up to the Olympics this cycle. Is there a feeling with hockey? I mean, last year the Four Nations tournament was unreal. It was unreal. The ratings were through the roof. The casual fans were watching. I would say the Olympics, I don't know what the ratings are, but I would imagine there were more people watching at 6 a.m. than a normal person would be watching any kind of sporting event at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning. But here's the thing. Like, we even said it. Like, you even said it. You like hockey, but you're admitting it. It's the fourth one. It's the fourth one, and what did I spend a good week talking about last week? All the issues surrounding the NBA. There's a lot of issues surrounding the NBA. Baseball certainly struggling, and yet hockey, I think baseball's struggling. I mean, the ratings have gone down over the years, and yet we're talking hockey is still number four. Is hockey viewed by people outside of the diehard hockey fan base as more of an Olympic-type novelty, where it's something they get into, would it make sense to root against the other countries, and it's Canada, and it's, oh, wow, it's gold medals on the line, it's Four Nations tournament. It's just not something that nationally most people like. Why? I think there's a lot of people that played that love sports, that played sports, maybe a sport. Hockey, for me growing up, like, dude, who played hockey? Did you go to school with anybody that played hockey, Mike?
Hockey's very, very expensive.
Extremely expensive. There's not a lot of teams. There's not a lot of high school teams. And we're just talking the state of Colorado. It's not a lot of, you don't grow up playing it, or you don't grow up having it in your high school where you became a hockey fan just watching other guys play it. Skating is a complete... Dude, you and I want to go play basketball right now. We can go play basketball. You and I want to go grab a football and run routes. We could go do that. You want to grab a glove and throw the baseball around? Easy.
There are parks everywhere.
Really go hockey. Well, you can go street hockey. That's not hockey.
It's the closest we can get to hockey.
For you and I to go out and just play hockey, we'd have to be an ordeal. We'd have to rent some place that has ice. And then we have to rent some skates. And then we'd have to rent some sticks. And we don't have all that stuff. Because you don't have sticks because you can't just go out and play randomly anytime. I have 14 basketballs in my garage. I wonder if that's part of it. Why hockey is number four, even though we're talking about MLB and the NBA having issues with their ratings.
I think it's partially it's expense, partially it's climate. It's a lot more warm down here. It's a colder sport. But I think it's also starting to grow slowly.
I think
it's starting to grow.
How do you take some of that momentum from the Olympics and put it to this back half of the season? Because last year at the Four Nations Tournament, I don't believe the ratings followed up. Because everyone's like, oh, this could be great for hockey, but I don't think the ratings actually had a big boost after the Four Nations Tournament. It's something to talk about. What do you do next? 12:50 the time. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. All right, coming up next, we got buy or sell. Also on the college basketball side, we talked a lot about the UNC Bears with the 38-point scorer, Brock Wisney. But I said on Friday that if the Rams did this thing, I'd be all the way back in. Yeah? Oh, you call me bandwagoner? Yeah, maybe. Not really. I go where the hot story is. And right now, in Brady Hole's world, the Colorado State Rams are red hot. Talk about Ali Farouk Manesh's crew coming up next. It's the whole show. We'll be right back, I promise.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.